I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And here it is, another week has rolled by, and we're gathering around the throne of grace to worship our wonderful, wonderful Lord. And isn't it great that all over the world, the people of God, we're all gathering around the throne of grace and worshiping the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And so we just welcome you, and we just pray that as we worship together today, we'll draw closer to the Lord. The psalmist writes in Psalm 61, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." Heavenly Father, how we rejoice that we can come to you and find comfort and strength. And no matter where, whether it's in the morning or the night or the midnight, you are always there. You neither slumber nor sleep, and you're always there to help us. And so we come, Lord, many of us, we have our sins, and we thank you for forgiving our sins. And we thank you that we can come to you just as we are. You'll receive us, every one. And maybe there'll be some today, Lord, that'll open their heart to you and come to Jesus. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Melissa, sing again for us. We so appreciate her. "Just As I Am." And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, with strife and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched and blind, sight, riches and healing of my mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive with welcome pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Amen.
Thank you, Melissa. God bless you. And that's our prayer, that you come to Jesus. And as Melissa was singing, I was thinking, you know, sometimes people say, well, I'm not good enough to be a Christian, and I couldn't live up to those things, and I've got some things in my life I got to clear up before I come to Jesus. And that's just plumb wrong thinking, because Jesus wants you to come just as you are. Don't get cleaned up or changed or anything. Just come to Jesus. And you receive him into your life, and then the transformation will take place, and you're a new creation. And you can overcome many things because the Lord will help you. And he'll show you what you need to do and what you shouldn't do. He'll guide us all through life. And he'll never ask us anything that we can't do with his help. So come just as you are, and I'm praying that many will come in our service today. Well, our letters, our wonderful letters, and I just thank you for writing. We just get a ton of them, and we get about 100 letters a day, something like that. And it's just wonderful, and so thank you for writing, and I want to share some of them with you. And by the way, I want to we're going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, if you want to locate that, 1 Peter chapter 1. But here's a letter from good old Sioux Falls, South Dakota. That's our neighbors to the south. And they write a little short note, and they say, "Thanks for all you do. You bring the true light back to our hearts and the truth to our souls' blessings." And so we do that because we're preaching and singing the Word of God, the Bible. That's where the power is. That's where the blessing is. That's where the strength is, the wonderful Word of God. And that's all we have on this service, the precious, wonderful Bible. Now here's one from Urbandale, Iowa. "God bless all of you. My mother lived in an assisted living for almost 4 years and told me about your services. She's with our Lord now, but she always called you the little man from Aberdeen." Well, I've been called a lot worse than that, so I can handle that okay. She says, "I wish you many more years in the ministry. God bless you." Here's Prineville, Oregon. "I want to share my yard sale with you, God and all. I did well, and I'm sharing 10% of my good fortune." And so here's a lady, and she's tithing. And you know, there's joy in tithing. That gives 10% of what God gives you. My mother taught me that when I was a little child. If I got 10 cents, I could put a penny in it, at least a penny. And God will bless you for it. That's God's way of financing His church. That's His work in the world, is for God's people to give 10%. So if you're not doing that, maybe you want to consider that. Just pray about it. Here is Alden, Iowa. "Recently, my husband responded to your message of salvation and gave his heart to Christ. Since then, he has had many questions about the Christian life, so he wants to know if you could send him the literature about becoming a born-again believer. We both believe it will help him and give him direction. Thank you, and God bless you, and see you next Sunday." Well, we've already sent the literature, and we're just rejoicing that here's a dear brother, here's a dear man came to know the Lord, now he's a brother in Christ. And I thought when I read that, you know, every one of you that gives, every one of you that prays, you have an investment in this man's soul. You had a part in bringing him to the Lord, because God knows we don't have enough money to carry this on ourselves. And so while maybe you can't preach and maybe you can't run all the technology, you can pray and you can give, and you're part of the team. And it's you're all important. Don't underestimate your importance. And so here we rejoice. Dear brothers, come to know Jesus. That's what it's all about. Here's Irwin, Tennessee. "We're sending a small gift to your ministry. We thank God for it. My husband, age 82, is an invalid. Cannot attend our church now after many years of faithful service. Your program is a highlight of our weekend worship on television, and we are so thankful for your heartfelt presentation of the gospel of our Lord. So much of broadcasting does not feed the soul, but your program does, both the message and the music. We thank God for your ministry." Well, all praise goes to the Lord, because if you're getting a blessing, it's because we're using the Word of God. That's where the power is. That's where the blessing is. That's where the comfort is. That's where the guidance is. That's where the correction is to change our ways. The wonderful, wonderful Word that God has given us in the Bible. And that's why we preach it. And that's why you ought to read it every day and love it and study it and believe it. God bless His Word as it goes into all the world. Here's one from Galena, Missouri. "The greatest disappointment I have in life is when Christian Worship Hour ends and goes off the air. I always feel like, keep going and don't leave. but the service ends. Keep up with the outstanding work. I love each and every one of you and am thankful for your service. Though our things are tough, but my eyes are on Jesus. Jesus saves. And so here's someone having some struggles. And you know, there's three things that we have in mind in our ministry with the Christian Worship Hour. The first one is that we honor God and glorify God. That's number one. The second is that we help sinners come to know Jesus, the lost, those who are on the way to hell, and turn to Jesus and come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And we're praying that they'll come to Jesus and receive Jesus. And the third thing we do is comfort God's people and encourage God's people, because I know that we hear letters from you struggling, so many of you going through hard times. Some of you don't have work, and some of you don't have income, and some of you don't have much to live on, and some of you are lonely. And I had a letter from a lady just recently, and the loneliness that she has. And so thank you for supporting this work and praying for us and helping us. We just love to do it. It's a ministry God has called us to do. Here's Tulsa, Oklahoma. Remember, whatever is around the corner, God is already there. And I thought, I've got to put that in. And whatever it is, just remember, I don't know what's around the corner, and I don't know what's down the road, but God's already there. So just move along and rejoice, and don't be fretting and worrying and fussing around, but just give praise to God and rejoice in the wonderful Savior. And then I have one more. Tampa, Kansas. Prayed the prayer to forgive me my sins and asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me a number of times. I think I am saved, but I still wonder, what is wrong with me? The past keeps coming back to me. I try to forget it, but I can't. I enjoy listening to your program every Sunday morning. My wife passed away March 4th, 2015. I'm very sad and lonely. I'm a retired farmer living alone on the farm. Sorry I never wrote sooner. I pray for you. I love you all. Pray for me. Isn't that a beautiful letter? Now, let me say a couple of things here. He says, I've asked Jesus into my heart a number of times. You just have to ask him once. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come in. You ask him just once. And you say, well, I didn't feel anything. Well, maybe you didn't. Some people do and some people don't. But what it is, it's not a thing. The feeling doesn't have a thing to do with it. It is a transaction. And Jesus says, I'm knocking at the door, and I want to come into your life. And if you open the door, I will come in. That's a contract. That's a business deal. And so you say, yes, Lord, I'm opening my life to you, and I ask you, please come in and take away my sins. That's it. It's just a transaction with the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe there'll be joy. Maybe it probably won't be like Saul on the road to Damascus, and there was such bright light it blinded him. That probably isn't going to happen. But you might have joy, and you might have peace, and sometimes people cry, and then sometimes nothing happens. And like it says in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me that sent him that sent me hath. That's present tense. You have everlasting life. The minute we accept Jesus, we have everlasting life, feel it or not, see? And feelings can be deceptive, because you can be happy one day and the next day lower than a snake's belt buckle. And so they don't go by feelings, just go by what God says. Take him at his word. And then what else does he say here? Oh, yes, he says, the past keeps coming back to me. You know why the bad things in the past come back to you? That's the devil. That's his favorite business, because he knows you can't do anything about the past. And he knows that most all of us have something in the past that we wish wasn't there. I know I have. So what am I going to do about it? I can't change it at all. So I do what St. Paul did. You know what St. Paul did? He says, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark, I put my eyes on Jesus. Don't look back. You can't do anything about the past. Look to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Forget the past. And now it's going to come to you and you'll remember some things, but it'll grow fainter all the time. But don't dwell on it. Keep your eye on Jesus. Finish strong for the Lord and He'll bless you. Well, those are wonderful letters and we just love hearing from you. And so we just have to urge you to write to us and to support our work. And you know, sometimes people say, well, all you do is ask about money. Well, we try to keep that at a minimum. And we don't like to say a lot about it, but I was reading in the book of James and it says, God says, you have not because you ask not. So if we don't say anything, you probably think, well, they got a ton of money, so they don't need my help. If they needed my help, they let me know. I'm letting you know. We're just like the dentist. We live from hand to mouth. And we're just about a day at a time is about all there is to it. And so if you don't support us, we have to sign off. So you write to us and you send it to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember. 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. There's only one Aberdeen in South Dakota. Wonderful, wonderful town. And it's a zip on that is 57402. If you want to do it, you can also get us and you can send a gift on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you know what? We have it set up now so that anywhere in the world you can send a gift. And we got a gift not long ago from Norway. And what you do is you get on the Christian Worship Hour, and then you ChristianWorshipHour.com. Then you look on there and it'll say donate. That means you're going to give something, and you punch that, you click that, or whatever you do, I don't know, and then it'll say PayPal, and that means you got some pals out there preaching and they need some pay, and so you put in there and you say, well, Lord, how much should I give? And you then he'll say, Lord, you mean that much? Or I don't know what the Lord will say, but just ask God, see, and you can send your gift and we'll get it in American money and we can pay our bills. But whatever you do, pray for us and stand by, and I know you will. And then I want to tell you about a little publication we put out, and it's called The New Song. And every month it's a different little lesson or a little Bible study. And this month, the month of July, is the soul set free. And you just say, I'd like the new song. And if you want to know how we handle our money, you can check with the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books and they have our budget and they know our expenses and they see that we're on the level. And we're proud to be a member of that organization. So we're going to be looking for you. And I just want to thank you for what you're going to do. And I'm going to pray now, and then Jan's going to play, and then you just do what God says. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for those who stood by now for over 35 years. And we just pray that you'll continue to work through your people to the glory of God. And we'll always be careful to give you all the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from 1 Peter chapter 1. And before I read this, I want to make a special announcement for all of our friends in Israel. Next Sunday, next week, I'm going to preach a sermon about when Jesus comes to Jerusalem and sits on the throne of David and rules in Jerusalem and the Middle East and all over the world. And I think that the people in Israel probably would really be interested in this message. So that's next week. It's the Earth's Coming King. And I know you'll take encouragement from it and see the great days ahead for the land of Israel and for the whole world. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with the 17th verse, "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, of the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth away and falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." Heavenly Father, the word of the Lord abideth forever and liveth forever. And therein is the power, because it's your word. We thank you for the Bible. And we thank you for the message of the Bible. And the great message of the redemption for a poor lost world, a poor lost mankind. And that's all through Jesus. And how he went to the cross and shed his blood, so that it is true. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Not a single sin will ever be washed away except through the blood of Jesus. And so we pray that we'll just look at that wonderful blood and give thanks for it. And Lord, every week now we pray for another country. And so today we're praying for our brothers and sisters in South Africa. And we just pray that you'll give courage and strength. I know that you will. And we're so thankful for those who stand true to you, even to the point of giving up their life. And to those who have given their life, we don't pray for them because they're in the presence of the King and wear the martyr's crown. But we pray for those dear ones left behind. Oh, God, help them to know that you understand and that they're doing it for Jesus' sake. And you died for us, and now some are dying for you. And so comfort their hearts and help them through. And someday they're going to see their loved ones again in that land that is fairer than day. So we love you, Lord, and we just pray to bless and to use this service. Pray that everything we say and do might honor Jesus. And we pray that there'll be many today who come to Jesus and find everlasting life. And there'll be many who have come to Jesus and find strength and help. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank is with us, good old faithful Hank. And he's going to sing a song. You're going to like it. "Are You Washed in the Blood of the Lamb?" And God bless you, Hank.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Well, God bless you, Hank, and that's what we're thinking about, the wonderful, precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you know, we don't hear much about the blood of Jesus Christ these days, do we? We don't hear many sermons about it. We don't have, some of the hymnals don't have the blood of the Lamb in it. And if they do have the blood of the Lamb in the hymnals, they don't sing it. And so there's a scarcity about the blood of Jesus Christ, but I want to tell you, there's a great host of people who love the blood of Jesus Christ and who find redemption and salvation and great comfort in the wonderful blood of the Lamb. To many, the blood of is the basis of for their rejoicing. Through the blood of the Lamb, we have redemption, and they realize that full well. They rejoice because through the blood of Jesus, now they are free from their sins. Now we can face God and don't have to worry about any blemishes, because we're going to be without spot and without blemish, because we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ being made possible through His shed blood. I was reading the other day about Luther, and in one time he had a dream, and his dream was that he was a judgment day. And as he was there, Satan kept pointing out one sin after another that Luther had committed. And the Satan was accusing Luther, and Luther knew all the time it was true. He couldn't deny a single one. Luther had committed the sins, no question about it. And the old devil was going down the list. He was mentioning every one of them. And as he went along, Luther's heart just sunk in despair. And then Luther thought about the cross of Jesus Christ, and he turned to the devil and he said, "There's one entry which you have not made known and mentioned, Mr. Satan. One thing you didn't mention." And the devil said, "What is that?" And then Luther replied, "It says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all our sins. 1 John 1:7. I'm redeemed and I'm set free through the blood, so you can just march out of here, devil. That's all taken care of." Oh, the blood is important. It's all important, really. A man I read about is Dave Egner, and he tells about one time when he went to donate blood, and he was given a card to read while he was having the drawing the blood, and it had different types of blood, and the percentages of people that have the different types. And they read, some of them were O positive, and there were 37.4% that had O positive. And A positive, there were 35%, 35 7/10%. A negative is slendering down in only 6.3%. And B negative was 1.5. But then the rarest blood of all, the rarest type of all, is called AB negative. And that is 0.6% have O, have AB negative. And then the little card put this statement, and it said, the rarest blood type is the one that isn't there when you need it. Well, I'm here to tell you there's another supply of blood that is of one kind. It's always available and is always will care for you, and that is 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ. It cleanses us from all sin. And so that's what they sing about in heaven in Revelation 1:5. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So we're going to look at that precious blood of Jesus Christ today. And all that's where the spotlight is going to be. Washed in the blood of the Lamb that was slain. Peter talks about it and he says, For as much as you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let me repeat again, the blood of Jesus Christ is all important. You know what? It is the most important thing you have in your body. If you lose your blood, you lose your life. I was reading about how they stormed the beaches of Normandy in World War I, June 6, 1944. It was the largest amphibious operation in history. It involved between 130 and 156,000 young men. And they all took the beach at a cost, the beach of Normandy, that cost 5,000 young men. They were lost their lives, and they lost their lives because they are that blessed. The sand was red from the blood, and as they lost their blood, they lost their life. So it is in the war with sin. In order to win that battle and to win that war, Jesus had to shed his blood. And St. John describes the great battle between the devil and his angels one time, and the followers of the disciples of Christ. And in that said, as the people of God were having the fight with the devil and his angels, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ. They had a victory because Jesus shed his blood on the cross. He paid for the sins of the world so that the world could be saved. Otherwise, all the world would be cast into hell. There's only one remedy, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood is all important. Clarence McCartney writes, and he says this, a man may have a perfectly framed and beautiful body, but if it's drained of its blood, it becomes nothing but a dead body, a clod. The Old Testament instilled an awful reverence for God, for blood. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And then it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. It is that which connects and holds together man's body and man's soul is the blood, that precious blood. And that is precious to us, but far more is the blood of Jesus Christ because he was a sinless Son of God. And so when we speak of the blood of Christ, we're speaking about the gospel. We're speaking about redemption. We're speaking about salvation in that wonderful Savior. We're talking about the blood that was poured out on the cross and that wonderful blood, that takes away our sin and makes us white and pure and gives us the righteousness of Christ. So when we stand at heaven's gates, we'll be perfect. Clothed in the blood, in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So the blood speaks in all for the entire Bible. It's all the way through it. As a matter of fact, when Moses had the book of the law on Mount Sinai, God gave him the book of the law, and what did Moses do? He sprinkled it with blood. And so the blood sprinkled book, that's what it is. And there's a scarlet thread that runs from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. All the way through the Bible is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood is talking about it. And you have to be blind if you're going to miss it. So let's look at this story. It starts out in the book of Genesis. And here animals were slain to clothe Adam and Eve. And in the slaying of the animals, you have the shedding of blood. And so we start with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, just shortly after they sinned, and the animals shed their blood to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. And so that from the book of and all the way until you get to the book of Revelation, where it says, "Unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in the blood of the Lamb." When you study that scarlet thread, you're going to see how that God is putting great emphasis on the blood all the way through. Look at then the next one. Look at the blood in Genesis 4, the story of Abel's lamb. Abel brought a lamb as a sacrifice to God, and God accepted that sacrifice. Undoubtedly, it was slain and burned. The death of the lamb, the bloodshed of that lamb, it's indicated by an expression where it says, "and the fat thereof," means there was death. And here comes Abel, and he gives this sacrifice, and it was a lamb for one person. It was a lamb for Abel. And then you go on to Genesis chapter 22, and you have the story of Abraham, where God tells Abraham to take your son Isaac, and you take him to Mount Moriah, a day's journey away. And I want you there to put him on an altar, and I want you to slay him. And you see, the heathen, they were slaying their children for the idols. And God is saying, "Do you love me as much as the heathen love their children?" And Abraham loved God, even if it took his own son. And so he goes to the Mount Moriah. He builds an altar. He puts that boy on there, and that boy could have been 18 years old. He could have fought back, but he was obedient to the Father, like Jesus was obedient to his Father when he went to the cross. And you know the story. It's a beautiful story of how that, lo and behold, when God comes to Abraham, and Abraham's about to slay his son. The boy is bound, and he's hand and foot, and he's on the altar, and the knife is there. And God says, "Hold everything." And there's a sheep, a lamb, caught in a thicket. And God says, "Use that." And he took that lamb out of that thicket, and he took that boy off of that altar, and he slew that lamb. And what God was doing is doing two things. Here it is pointing out, in order to have a sacrifice, you have to have the blood. And then you have a substitute. And so Isaac doesn't die. A substitute is given and takes his place. It's a picture of Jesus, the beautiful Lamb of God. Except when Jesus went to the cross and his own Father had him die, there wasn't a substitute. And Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And so there you have the picture, and this is a substitute with the blood is being shed. The next thing we see is in Exodus chapter 12, and you still see the blood all the time. It's the story of the Passover lamb. The children of Israel are in Egypt, and they're slaves of Egypt. And they're worse than that. And God comes to this land, and he's going to set them free now. And Moses is going to lead them out. And you have the plagues and all the terrible plagues. And then he comes to that one last plague. And the firstborn male of everyone, whether it's a Hebrew or whether it's Egyptian, is going to die on this night when the death angel comes through. And so then God tells him, "I want you to take a lamb, and I want you to slay that lamb, and I want you to sprinkle the blood of that door on the doorpost on either side." That's a sign of the cross. Way back there 3,000 years ago. Sign of the cross. And so when it came through, the death angel wasn't looking to see if it was a good Israelite or a bad Israelite. Wasn't looking to see if he was good looking or not. He didn't care if he's rich or poor. He didn't care anything. He was looking for the blood. And he could have been a good boy and he could have been a naughty boy, but he wasn't looking at the works being done. He was looking for the blood. And he says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And they were saved. The blood. Well, so now here we see the blood applied. It could be in that basin, but it wouldn't do a bit of good. But he had to take that hyssop and he had to apply that blood. And oh, dear friend, let me tell you something. Jesus shed his blood for your sins. But if you don't apply it by faith, it doesn't mean a thing. When the death angel came, he was looking at the doorpost for the blood, not the basin with the blood. The blood has to be applied, and you apply the blood by faith, by calling on the name of the Lord. Oh, Jesus Christ, thank you for dying for my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. I was 10 years old. I remember it plain as day. 84 years ago. God have mercy. And so this wonderful blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ now, and so they have this Passover, and it is for a family. You see, first Abel had it just for a person. And then we have the next one, it's a substitute. And now it's for a family. The whole family's safe if the blood is on the doorpost. Then you come on and you have the blood in Leviticus chapter 16. And here's a story of two young goats, and they're equivalent to lambs. It could be lambs as well as goats. And the goats, one is slain, and the blood from the slain goat is sprinkled on the other goat, and the other goat is set free. And it's a picture, the blood for death. And then it's a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he has all the marks of death. He has the blood marks of death, and yet he's alive. And it's a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ way back here in the Old Testament. And Jesus Christ is alive forever. And so that wonderful Lord Jesus Christ comes and he pays that price. He pays it in full. He goes to he's buried in the grave in a tomb 3 days and three nights. And when he comes back, he has all the marks in his hands and his feet and his side. It's there. But the Christ who was dead is the Christ who is alive. A beautiful picture, but there's always that blood. You have to have that blood on that one goat to set it free. Something has to die for the other one to live. And then you come to Isaiah chapter 53. And what a beautiful picture here. As something happens here, it's a new development. Total new development, because in Isaiah 53, we find out the lamb slain is not going to be a lamb. It is a man. It is a person. Listen to Isaiah. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Or look at verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. Glory to God, the lamb is a man. And then you go into John chapter 1, and here we see a prophet, and his name is John the Baptist. And to him Jesus says, God says, there was a man sent from God. John 1 verse 6, God has a man. He's sending him on a mission. And so John the Baptist comes, and Jesus says, among men, there isn't a greater prophet than John the Baptist. So John the Baptist then is separated unto God. He goes into the wilderness and he lives in the wilderness. And he becomes a great preacher. And he preaches repentance, and he has a fire in his voice. And he's dressed in skins and camel's hair garments. And he eats wild honey and locusts. And this fierce, shaggy man out of the desert, sent from God, stands before Jesus of the Jordan River. He points his finger at him, and so that all the world and the multitudes can see. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And so this sacrifice is not a lamb. It is a man, and the man is Jesus, the Son of God, come to be our Savior. And so there you have it, Genesis 4, the blood of the lamb for an individual. Exodus 12, the blood of the lamb for a family. Leviticus 16, the blood of the lamb for a nation. Now John, the blood of the Lamb for all the world. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. But then look at the blood in Acts chapter 8. And here we have the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. And he is a treasure for Candace, queen of Ethiopia. And he's been to Jerusalem. And he's been to Jerusalem to worship in the temple. And now he's on his back, way back to Ethiopia. And while he's riding in his chariot, he's reading. And he's reading out loud. And everybody can hear him. And he's reading from Isaiah 53. And and he's reading the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. In his judgment, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. That is, he wasn't judged fairly. He didn't have justice. Justice was denied him. Who shall declare his generation? That is, who can express the wickedness of his generation? Because he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so he's reading this. In the meantime, God has taken Philip from Samaria, where he's having great evangelistic meetings. He says, go out into the wilderness. See the providence of God, the hand of God. And he brings Philip there. And Philip hears the Ethiopian eunuch. And he's reading. And he doesn't understand. And he comes. And he doesn't understand it. And the eunuch and Philip comes to him and says, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian eunuch says, no, I don't understand it. Somebody has to explain it. And Philip preached unto him. What did he preach? Jesus. Jesus. That's where the power is. And that's what we have to do, is we have to preach Jesus and this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. It's a picture of him giving his blood, dying for the sins of the world. And that was the wonderful Savior. And after he was done, Philip says, do you believe this? And the Ethiopian eunuch says, oh, I do believe. I want to trust Jesus. I trust Jesus. And he put his faith in him, and he was baptized on that right. Stopped the chariot and was baptized. There was a body of water. So you see how it's coming along here, this wonderful Jesus. And then you come to Revelation chapter 1. And here St. John talks about the blood, because he declares, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so the crimson thread, the blood of Jesus Christ, is pictured all the way from Genesis to the book of Revelation. And there's no question about it, but the emphasis of the Word of God is on the blood of Christ. And rightly so. Because so everything we have depends and rests upon that wonderful blood of Jesus Christ. Let me mention just a few things. Four ways this blood applies, helps us. The first of all, the blood of Christ justifies us. In his letter to the Corinthians in Rome, Paul says, being now justified by his blood, Romans 5, verse 9. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, here we are, poor lost sinners, and we have no hope in this world or the world to come, because we have no way of getting rid of our sin. We have to pay for our sin with our own body, our own spirit and soul in hell. We have to pay for it ourselves. And here this Lord Jesus comes, and we are justified by his blood. That means that he takes us, and he takes away our sin, and he clothes us in his righteousness. And when we stand before God, we will be perfect, because we're in Christ. And we come to Jesus at the cross. That's where we get it. It's just like when they crucified Jesus, and he had a garment woven without seam. And they were casting lots. They were dividing all the plunder. And when they came to that garment, they said, it's too beautiful to cut up in pieces. Let's cast lots. And they rolled dice to see who would get that garment. And one of those centurions got that garment. And he was a man that was dirty. He'd been driving the nails. He was bloody. He was a mess. And he put on that white, beautiful garment and walked away in that garment. And that's a picture when we come to the cross. And we take Jesus Christ into our life, and he clothes us with his righteousness. And when I stand before God, I'm not going to have to worry about whether I get in or not. He'll say, I'll be at the door. And he'll say, come right in. Beulah's been looking for you. come on in, because I'm perfect. And you can have that same thing. And that's what we're trying to tell you, dear friends. We're telling you, you have to come to Jesus and receive the dear Lord Jesus and be made pure and clean. Wash those sins away. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they're going to be like wool. You won't. And what does he say in Hebrews? He says, as sins and iniquities I will remember no more. They're all gone. You may think about them, but God doesn't. They're all gone. Justified. And then we're redeemed. Christ has many names in the Bible. He's called Lord and Savior and King and Prophet and Priest and Mediator. He's called the Mighty God. He's called the Prince of Peace. But for all of those names, I think the most beautiful name is Redeemer. Redeemer. Here I was. I had a debt I couldn't pay. And the only way for Jesus to pay it was with his own blood on the cross. And why did he do that? Why would he do that? He did that because he loved us. He loved us so much he would die for us. And when you say no to Jesus, you're saying that you don't care if he died or not. And you're trampling underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what you're doing. And every time Jesus talks to you, the Holy Spirit talks to you. And I suspect there are many people all over the world where the Holy Spirit is talking right now. And he's saying, you ought to come to Jesus. And you ought to ask Jesus to come into your life. And you ought to ask him to take away your sins. And you ought to promise him to live for him. That's repentance. You turn from your evil ways and you make him your Lord and you make him your Savior. You ought to do that. And you're standing there and you're putting it off and you're waiting and you're not sure. And you'll think about it and all this kind of stuff. You're trampling underfoot the precious blood of Christ. You should throw your heart open to him right this minute while I'm talking and settle it. And then the third thing is, it reconciles us. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, the Old Testament prophet says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear. Sin always separates us. Sin separates us from our friends. Sin separates sometimes marriages and breaks them up. Sin is always separates us, and it separates us from God. And that's what Cain did. We read that after his sin, he went out from the presence of the Lord. Judas sinned against Jesus, and he went out, and it says, and it was night. Peter denied Jesus and sinned against Jesus, and he went out and he wept bitterly. And how can you be made right? The blood of Jesus Christ, you can be reconciled to God and have wonderful fellowship with God. You ought to do that right now. And then the last thing I put down, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Just think of the soul, that precious soul that you have. It was created in the very image of God. It was created beautiful. It was created immortal. It was beautiful as it could be, but it was stained by sin. That beautiful immortal soul, stained by sin and unfit for the presence of God. You can't go into the presence of God with your sins. And so we sing the song, sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And that wonderful body, that wonderful Christ, will take that soul and he'll wash us clean. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's what we're going to sing about in heaven. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. John declared again, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all of our sins. And so that sin that was stained and was dirty and was lost and was hell-bound, we come to Jesus, and he cleanses us and makes us white as snow. He doesn't just cover our sins. He washes them away. The blood of bulls and goats just covered sin. All of the sins of the Old Testament were all there. They were just covered. When Jesus died, he paid for all of those sins in the Old Testament and all of those sins of that day, and all the sins as long as man is on this earth till Jesus comes again, he paid for them all. And you can have that wonderful salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you have to have Jesus. You have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Well, how are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You're washed in the blood of the Lamb, where Jesus says in John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Believe on Jesus. Ask Jesus into your heart. And if you do that, dear friends, we'll send you some literature. And you can you tell us you've accepted Jesus. We get letters almost every week. And somebody's come to Jesus. We'll send you some literature. And then those of you that are struggling and having tough times, we're praying for you that God will help you. And just trust in the blood of the Lamb and sing about that wonderful praise. That's what we're going to sing in heaven. Sing it now. And then you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57403. Or you can write to us, get us, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And I hope that you'll do that. And all of you friends in Israel now, you remember, next week we're going to talk about when Jesus is in Jerusalem and when he rules and reigns in that wonderful city of Jerusalem and all over the world. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful Savior. We thank you that he's alive and that he loves us and that he'll accept us if we come to him. And we pray for those who are lonely and those who are weary and those who are hurting and those who are in despairing, and turn their eyes on you and give them strength and help them to know you said you never leave them or forsake them. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. And dear Lord, help us that we may love you and serve you every way we possibly can. And we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to thank all of you for being with us today. We're just praying you have a good week. Maybe this is the week Jesus will come. I don't know. But you write to us and you pray for us. And next week we'll be looking for you. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.